It has been quite a week for all of us, I'm sure.
I was suggesting this to you all last year at this time. I even reminded all of us this morning at the beginning of the service, but it's still Christmas. It may not feel like it as you walk through the malls and turn on your televisions and read the newspapers, but even though December 25th has long passed us now, it is still the Christmas season. So even though the wrapping paper has been thrown away and those hideous gifts returned and our Christmas trees taken down, it is still the Christmas season. And it's kind of ironic to me that while the secular world and the malls start to celebrate Christmas long before the church does, like in September or something, the church continues to celebrate Christmas even after the malls stop. If you want to illustrate that point, go to the mall sometime today or this week and wish someone a Merry Christmas and see what kind of reaction they get. But that's precisely the point of this morning. The point is that the difference that Jesus Christ makes in the world is long-lasting. It is far-reaching. The impact of Jesus Christ in the world is not confined to secular constraints or to worldly time or to human institutions. It is global, it is for the whole world, and it is for all time. And that's kind of the point of what the wise men's story is all about, that Jesus Christ is for the whole world. And so this morning I just want to say three things about the Magi story that we heard in Matthew 2, 1 to 12. The first point is that Jesus Christ is for the whole world. The second point is that Jesus Christ is for the traveler. And finally, Jesus Christ is for you. First of all, Jesus Christ is for the whole world. The story of the Magi in Matthew is a bit of a contrast to the rest of the nativity scene. When we think of the Christmas scene, we think of the lowly shepherds, or the ordinary young woman, or the humble carpenter, or the sheep, or the cows, or the silent holy night, or the people who are pushed out on the fringe. But the story recorded in Matthew is about some wise men, some royalty, some exotic foreigners. And I told you already that Matthew, the story in Matthew is the only one of its kind in all of Christian history. It's the only one that talks about the wise men. But I think it's among the most important, because it reminds all of us that Jesus Christ is not just born for a select few, not just for the privileged, not just for the favored, but Christ is for the whole world. And Jesus Christ breaks down all political and economic and social barriers. Jesus Christ is not just for the white Anglo-Saxon male. Christ is not just for the rich. Christ is not just for the poor. Christ is for everyone. The Magi story reminds us that in Christ, East meets West. Polar opposites can come together. People all across the world, no matter what their walk in life, no matter what their situation, no matter what their status, can find hope and peace and goodwill in this tiny baby that was born in manger hay. The second point is that Jesus Christ is for the traveler. The wise men journeyed a long distance from afar. They were guided by a star sent from above. They were not only called, but they were led. And they started on a wonderful journey. And remember all of the journeys that people of faith took in the Bible. Do you remember the Israelites who were caught up in slavery and bondage under the Egyptian Pharaoh? And how they were called into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And were they alone? They were not alone, because they were guided. They were guided by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. Remember the story of the two men who were traveling to Emmaus after Jesus' death and resurrection. And as they journeyed, the risen Christ appeared to them, and they didn't even know it. And they started talking about the events in Jerusalem and how this man named Jesus died and supposedly rose again, not even realizing that the one that they were speaking to was the one that they were speaking about. Christ was in their midst, and they didn't even know it. They had all of the head knowledge about Christ, but not the heart relationship. And it wasn't until Christ broke bread with them, shared communion with them, that they realized who it was that was leading them and guiding them. Many people this morning are walking very difficult spiritual and emotional journeys. The Christ child was born to guide you, to guide the weary travelers. For those of you who are walking a lonely path, for those whose destination is yet to be determined, the Christ child was born to guide you. For those whose road is dusty and well trod, for those whose path is uncharted, Christ is for the weary traveler. And Jesus was born for those of you who are just beginning your spiritual journeys, reluctant to risk, hesitant to try, unwilling to make an effort. And Christ was born for those of you whose journey is well underway, to give you strength, to give you endurance, to quench your thirsty soul. Christ came to earth to be among us. Christ is still in the world to walk beside us. And here's the final point. Christ was born for each one of us. Maybe this morning you are the weary traveler. Maybe you identify with the wise men this morning. You feel like an outsider in God's community. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough, not similar enough, not experienced enough to be included in God's church. And maybe there are reasons that you feel excluded from the full grace of God this morning. But you need to know that God's grace is available for you, for the entire world. And maybe you feel like you look ahead in your life and see nothing but uncertainty and despair. Christ offers you hope and peace. Or maybe your life is just the opposite situation. You look at your life and think that everything is fine, that everything is secure. But you need Christ too, to challenge your assumptions, to call you to compassion, to lead you to a new place of ministry in God's kingdom. Christ was born for the desperate and the secure, for the content and the hurting. We have just started a new year, a new millennium, and many of you, I'm sure, have taken time to ask the question, what am I going to do differently with my life? Some of you have made resolutions. Some of you know that you're going to break them tomorrow. But all of us seem to ask the question, what am I going to do differently with my life? Maybe there are personal habits that you want to break. Maybe there are relationships with people that you want to mend, career moves that you are pondering. And all of these are valid and important questions. But brothers and sisters, they are all empty decisions unless Christ is in them. Without the Christ influencing and monitoring your actions and your decisions, nothing we do to improve our lives will mean anything, unless Christ is the ruler of our hearts. All of you, I think, have heard this wonderful Christmas children's poem by Christina Rossetti. It's called, What Can I Give Him? It's just 8 simple lines, and it's beautiful, and it's powerful. And let it sink deeply into your hearts. It says, What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I will give him my heart. In a few moments, we're going to join together for communion and celebrate the blessed gift of Christ's life and death and resurrection for us and for the entire world. It should be a meaningful moment because it is the first communion that Bethel Church will have in the year 2000. And in the new millennium, But I want to remind you that we don't do this alone. We do this as part of a cosmic global community that joins together to celebrate the coming of Christ into the world and the coming of Christ into your life. And so as you come forward to the altar rail this morning, ask yourself, what can you give Him? Give Him your life. Because Christ is for all of us who travel a weary path to give us hope and peace now and forever. In the name of our Creator and our Redeemer and our Sustainer, Amen.